You may have heard in Apollo 13, they said, Houston, we got a problem. Well, as Christians, we got a problem. We got more than one problem. But you know, one of the problems we just talked about is sin. But another problem we got is, you know, we're all here worshiping God, right? But we can't see God. At least I can't. He's invisible. So how can we worship, how can we follow, how can we proclaim something we can't see? And to me, that's the problem. I like to see things. And so today we're going to kind of talk through how we can work through that problem. So just to kind of bring us up to speed with all that's gone on, one way we've been able to see the invisible God, and this is what, you know, Dave's talked about, is he's, you know, we've had family, faith, ethnic background, culture, all these things kind of help guide us to be able to see the invisible God. You know, maybe we were fortunate enough our parents told us about it, and maybe they modeled it. All these things God has done to bring us closer to himself. And so hopefully those things have worked together in each unique ways. You know, we're all different. God's worked in all of us differently, but he's molded us so that we can come to the point where we say, okay, God, you're invisible, but I see you. I believe you. And once we come to that point of faith, well, then kind of a next logical step would be to share this with others. And so we've been looking at, you know, all these different ways people look at the world, look at God, and there are different perspectives. And it's not unusual there's different perspectives, but how can we influence these different perspectives for the gospel? And so today we're going to kind of focus on the atheism and agnosticism. So atheism, think, okay, there is no God. Agnostics is, well, I'm not sure if there's a God. I don't believe one, but I'm not, maybe there is one. I just can't say for sure. Now, I'm not going to necessarily focus so much on that as I am just seeing God. Because I think if we can see the invisible God more and more, I think a lot of things will just come into place. And God has revealed himself to us in a way that not only we as believers can see, but non-believers can see as well. And so as we see God reveal the invisible becoming invisible, we can share that with others and see the gospel grow. So that's the plan. And the focus of our scripture is going to be on Romans. And this is really, these verses are, it's like filled with drama. It's almost like all of creation is looking on these verses. And if you're familiar with them, I'm only going to look at a couple of them. But at the beginning, Paul talks about the gospel and how the gospel God has brought into the world. But then shortly after that, he jumps into 18 to 32. He talks about unbelief and sin. And there's this whole laundry list of sin. And as we talked about in communion, you know, those are the pieces, the thousand-piece puzzle, and many of them are listed in that verse. And sometimes it's overwhelming from that list. And we can look at that in many different ways. We can look at ourselves, seeing that we fall short. More often than not, we look at others, see how they fell short. But it's this laundry list. And I think we need to look at all this together, the gospel and sin, and see, okay, how can we bridge this gap between the two? How can we go from our sin nature to the gospel? And so there's this gap that we've got to figure out how to fill and how to do that. And I think part of the key is actually embedded in these verses. Let's just read this together. This is just 19 and 20. So this is kind of in the context of he just got done talking about the gospel. Here's the gospel. And then he goes in and starts talking about sin. But before he goes into much detail, this is what he has to say. So let's read this together. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. I'm sure we've all kind of seen that verse, thought about it, because it carries a lot of weight. You know, when God says you are without excuse, weight with that. That's heavy. I'm not a big fan of doing this when other people have made me do it, so I'm not going to make you do this, but I'm going to reread this. I'm going to change the them to, you know, us. And so you can just think about this and try to carry the weight with it. For what can be known about God is plain to us, or to me, because God has shown it to us, to me. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal powers and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So we are without excuse. So there you have it, God's word. So if we're without excuse, God has made this not only for, you know, everybody, for us. How can we take those things, that those invisible attributes, and make them visible? And even though it's a weighty passage, it's filled with adventure because God has put his fingerprints all over creation. And I am just one little speck of that creation, what I've seen. And I know, I mean, each one of you could tell stories about how God has shown himself to you. And every one of those would be amazing. And so I'm just going to take a few moments and share a little bit from my perspective. But my perspective is no different than anyone else's here. The thing is, I think what we want to do is to take away from this is to see how God has revealed things to us as individuals and remember those things and then share those with others, because those are things that he has given to us to reveal those invisible qualities. So I'm going to pray now, and I would like to ask, you know, the verses 18 through 32 really hit some serious weighty things about sin. And I don't want to, you know, I could go through the strategy of, you know, playing background music, get everyone, you know, emotionally in charge about their sin, and, you know, do that. Nothing wrong with that. But I think God works through his Holy Spirit. And he works in the quietness of our heart. And so if each of us tonight, before we go to bed, just take time and look at those verses and ask God to convict us of our sin, and that we can confess our sins and our family sins and our nation's sin, and see the red as scarlet become white as snow, I think that's a good thing to do, because God has, you know, has a sound judgment on it all. But I want to focus on how he has taken the invisible and made it visible. That's my focus for today. So let's pray. Lord, you are invisible, and yet you've shown us yourself in all of creation. And we thank you for that. Often we miss it, but even when we do get that glimpse of it, Lord, it's inspiring. And I just thank you for that. I pray that we can learn how to see you more clearly in each and every day and all the circumstances that we're in, so that we can grow in our own love for you and then share that with others. Amen. Okay. So three parts today. First part, I think one of the ways that we can see God's invisible part is to wonder. You know, we got to take time to sit and wonder. We can't just be busy. You know, if we're always busy, we're not going to sit down and wonder about God. So what does that mean? What keeps us from wondering? What are our enemies to wondering? And then finally, kind of like, what does that mean for us at Fox Creek? And so bring it at home into something maybe practical. So there's our plan. So what does it mean to wonder? Well, you know, for me, sometimes I wonder. And then sometimes I wander, you know, and it's easy when you wander to get off target. So, you know, let's make sure we stay on target today, because I know I could wander off. But what we're looking at is in the context of Romans. And so think about the gospel, and we're wondering about God's creation. Okay, that was part of the verse. So, you know, we could wonder about, gee, I wonder, you know, why, I don't know. Why some baseball team's doing really good. You know, it's like, well, that's cool, but that's really not God's creation, okay? So what we're talking about is wondering about how God created things, and in light of sin in the gospel. And we have to be careful when we do that, because we can't just be admired of the creation, we need to see the creator behind the creation. So we can't stop at the creation. It's like, oh, wow, that was just amazing. But then we need to go further and recognize who's the one that created it. So let's not stop just at the creation. So that's the context of this one ring that we've got. So we stay on target. So now is our time to wonder. And we're going to recreate Genesis 1 today. It's going to be fast. He did in 7 days. We're going to do it quicker. So first thing God did was he created the earth. So there it is. Earth created. Okay? We could talk about this. This is you. We could go on and on about how he created it. But today I'm going to focus on something a little bit more interesting because we often think of what God created as static. You know, it's like, oh, look at that rock. Oh, that's cool. But it doesn't move, you know. We're going to talk about how God set things in motion. And that is really something amazing. So some of you may have drawn a circle before in the olden days. Some of you older people, I'm sure the younger people didn't, where you had to do like a compass, you know, where you had to draw things. Okay. Now, we're going to show how the earth moves, but we can't use a compass. God didn't follow that simple strategy. He went one step more creative. And so I've got a couple people here who want to come up here, right? Yep, Jim and Paula, my lovely volunteers. And we need a little bit extra creativity to show you how God created things. So as they're coming up, God always starts with a center. So I'm going to put a center of, here's the center of our universe right there. Okay, Paula, I need you. Paula is going to be the sun. She's bright. Sparkly shoes, yep. Jim, he's the earth. And I'm just a guy over here. All right. So this is how God created the earth, and then he created the planets, but more interesting, he set them in motion. And so we're going to see how that motion works. And so what I want Jim to do is Jim's going to take these things and we're going to start where Jim's at like this. We don't want Jim to get lost. So this is his starting point. And every time he makes a quarter turn around the circle, he's going to like make a marker. That's his job. And the way he's going to orbit around the sun is he's going to pull that. The correct word is taut. He's going to hold that taut. And then he's going to So as he goes around, now you can go ahead and go around, and if we're lucky, we're not going to knock off Paula, and we just move that, I'm going to move that back there. Okay, so he's right there, and once you go ahead and put another one down there, somewhere about where he's at. So you kind of saw that. Okay, keep going. So he's a quarter of the way around. Now he's going to go around. Taut, we got to get this taut. Come on, taut, taut. Okay, go put that down. Next one. Let's see how Courtney is. This is a rough estimate. It's a rough model. Okay, keep going. And then it's going to come over here. And then now he's three quarters of the way down. I'll hold this for you. Yeah, that's the last one. Okay. And then he's going to keep going. And that's how God set the earth into motion. Isn't that kind of cool? Yeah, I don't know if he used a rope or string, but it's not like he's doing this every day, every year. This is how the earth goes around the sun and orbits around. So that's pretty cool. All right, so now we're going to go to the next step, which I think is even cooler. And because like all people who like to move, it's not just how you move, but how fast you move. And so like I was thinking yesterday at the Abby Manifield's wedding, there was a lot of movement, okay? The first step was, you know, they told you, okay, you know, move right, move left, and so you had to know which way, and I know Christy knew this because she was really good at it, and I won't mention other names, but they're in the back row, and they all knew how to move much better than I did, so first part was they had to know where to step, so now Jim knows how to step, but you know, you can't just step, you got to have rhythm, right? Well, God's got rhythm, and he's dancing better than I dance, and so how fast does Jim go? That's a great question. Now, we might think it'd be kind of fun to go an average speed, right? Average speed. God's not that boring. No, he's got something a little bit more interesting. So the key to figure out how fast Jim moves is you got to look at this rope and how much does this rope move, the area of this rope move in a given period. And so you got to first of all look at right now, if you hold that down a little bit so they can all see, this is like the biggest area where he's at now. And if you move over, now go around, you can see the area here is a lot smaller, isn't it? And you know what God does? The way he moves every day, it has equal area that that covers. So that means when he goes this way, he's moving a little slower because now he's making a bigger arc. But now as he's going here, he's got to move faster because he's got to cover more area. And that's how far the earth moves every day. And so if you look at every day, how the earth moves around the orbit, you can measure that arc and that area is the same every day. And it's not just the same every day, it's the same every hour and every minute. God has this like internal speedometer as we orbit around the sun that he's got this beautiful pattern. Now, I know you could try to explain this with gravity and all. There's all kinds of theories how it works. That's cool. But sooner or later, you got to say, okay, but who made gravity? You know, isn't that beautiful? I mean, can we all agree that is awesome? So it's not only moving around, but it's this beautiful pattern. And as we do that, we can all wonder about the Creator. It's like, wow. I mean, not only did he build these humongous earth and sun and moon, but he set them in motion and in this beautiful pattern that we can all predict. So there's a little bit of God's glory. Thanks, guys. I know, yeah. Now, in case you want to know, so this is just a little picture of the earth here. And I got a whole bunch of these. And they're in a bag back there. So if you want one, they could be a stress ball. But I think they're a great reminder of God's creation. And you can put that wherever you want to go and give it to someone or just remind yourself that this is what God's created right here. So I hope that gave you an idea about what's out there. You know, God has created so many things where he's made beautiful patterns. And these things can, first of all, we've got to see them ourselves and wonder at it. And can you imagine the first person that figured that out? How exciting that would have been? But now we read about these things in textbooks. And it comes out like a math problem that has no sense of wonder to it. It becomes a 5-minute problem you're supposed to solve. And as Christians, we need to take a step back and see, wow, God really did all this. And isn't that beautiful? And so I think that that's part of what we need to take time for. Okay, so there's the wonder. What keeps us from wondering? Well, there's a whole laundry list, and this is just probably a partial one. I think of, you know, our pride. We think we know it all. With prejudice, maybe we're not willing to listen to someone because we may not think they, they're not even a Christian. How could they know more about God's creation? You know, there's all kinds of prejudice, I think, that keep us from wondering. We have judgment. I think of the Pharisees. You know, they weren't open to God's goodness. They always put God into a box. And I think that just keeps us from wondering about God's creation. And this one is probably the biggest one, is forgetting God's presence. So, you know, as we walk in things and live life, we just got to remind ourselves that, you know, this pattern we've got here, we're in God's presence. God is the architect of this. This is not just something we see in a book. This is God setting life in motion. And just always have that presence, that idea that God is with us. And whatever we do, it doesn't matter. You know, I think of the students who are graduating, and, you know, it doesn't matter what subject you're studying, God is in it. And they may not bring that out in the study, but we got to remember that God's behind it all. The example I was thinking about was the woman who was considered a sinner and, you know, who poured perfume in Jesus' presence. And what a beautiful picture that is of someone recognizing that I'm in the midst of Jesus, and I don't want to forget that. And I, as we wonder, we want to make sure we have that ability, and we're not like the Pharisees that ignore that. So what does this mean for Fox Creek, for us here? It's kind of, you know, how do we go about doing this? You know, I went through a lot of, when I was in college, I went through Campus Crusade, and, you know, we went through training on how to share the gospel. And there was, you know, a method there. You had to do this, do that. And it was always kind of like a presentation, like I'm presenting the gospel. And there's benefit to that. There's time where we present the gospel. But I think what happens more in day-to-day life, in reality, is it's kind of back to that us as family, we're putting a puzzle together. And you know how exciting it is when you're with someone and they put a piece together. And you say, oh yeah, that's neat, and I got one more piece to put together. And you're learning as you go. And we can do this with believers and non-believers. We're all trying to understand God's creation. So like this little experiment here could have been in a conversation with a non-believer exploring how all this happens. It's like putting this puzzle together. How have these things been put into motion? And so for me, it helps to think about these conversations not as me having the answers, but us as putting a puzzle together. And it's God's puzzle. And he's going to reveal things to us. He's going to reveal things to others. And that's okay. We don't need to have the answers, but we need to be in a position that we want to learn and wander and then acknowledge. The cool thing about that is it takes the pressure off, right? You know, we don't feel like we don't have to perform. We don't have to script it. The Holy Spirit is doing the work, but we have to just be available and have those conversations with people. So it's kind of like that coming alongside. And, you know, there's no divisions. There's not like we're not talking about, you know, Hinduism versus agnosticism. We're trying to see how God's hand and fingerprint, what fingerprints and, you know, do we have in God's creation that are here? That's the common ground that we all have. And so we can start with that. Now, maybe eventually it does get to the point where you view perspectives differently. You may come to the point where you bring in the Bible and you say, well, my perspective is I think, you know, the Bible is God's word. Well, they may not think that. Well, that's okay. You know, that's where, but you started with something that, you know, you had common ground with. And so there might be differences along the way, but don't be afraid of those differences. One example I thought about is, you know, the weather. It's just everyday thing. And, you know, so often, first of all, we're critical of the weather, aren't we? I mean, just like it annoys us, it gets in our way. But isn't that God's handiwork on our lives in a daily basis, and every day is different, and it's interesting? You know, just yesterday at the wedding, you know, they were giving their vows, and it was thundering. You know, on one hand, you could say, oh, man, but on the other hand, I'm thinking, God's speaking, you know, during the vows. You know, how cool is that? And so how do we perceive those little things like that God's got his hand in, that we can take an opportunity to bring in a spiritual conversation? Or we could just treat the weather like, well, I hope it's going to be sunny today so my day's not interrupted. And I think about a lot of people in here are what I'd call like first-generation Christians. So maybe your parents weren't believers, and you remember what it was like to kind of start that journey. And there was a lot of challenge, but there was a lot of joy in that discovery. And that can happen to second, third, fourth generation, but there's something special about that first discovery. And so many things that God's done in creation have already been discovered as far as figured out. And like I said, they've been put in textbooks. And you know, maybe sometimes hundreds of years, and so they don't seem interesting, But they were very interesting back in the time when it was discovered. And it's fun to read about when people discovered these things. Christians and non-Christians alike were wrestling with these things. And when like they first figured out how the planets moved, I mean, the church was right in the center of that. And it was a deeply spiritual issue, and it divided people. And it was the biggest thing that was going on. Now we don't even think twice about it. But God still did it. It's just that we're like 10th generation after that discovery. So we need to kind of try to guard against things that we already know and try to look at things fresh. Because if we look at things fresh, oh, we'll see things, you know, sun's coming up today. Wow, that's amazing. Try to look at God's creation in a new perspective. And I thought about different people in our fellowship. So I got some examples. So rocks. I bet if I say rocks and we think of someone in our fellowship, we got to think about the Novotnys, right? Yeah. I mean, hang around listening to John talk about rocks. Isn't that cool? And I was with him the other day, and he was going off on this some rock and had all this color in it. And he said, you know, I think that every color in the world is in this rock. You know, he's just going crazy. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. But then he said, you know, not everyone may see that. He said, but God has allowed me to see it. And, you know, he'll share it with everybody. But for him, it's enough for him to know that God has shown it to us. And so it all starts with us appreciating those things. You know, we listened to Skip talk about trees, and you know, he knows more about trees than probably by the time he was 10 than I had known my whole life. But just appreciate, see, God's in the trees. That's beautiful. Trees are everywhere. And to see that in Gretchen and flowers, and there's so many neat things about flowers that, I mean, you see God there, right? It's not just something pretty, it's something pretty God created. And whenever they see that, those things, there's something, a connection with God. Well, that's things, conversations we can have with other people. Squirrels, okay, that's my wife. She loves squirrels. And I'm talking about something simple, but, you know, we've had so many people in our house, and they see squirrels coming down, and she's just talking about squirrels, but God's fingerprint is all in that conversation. And she sees amazing things in squirrels. And, of course, someone's got to kill these things. So then we got the hunting. Right? Now, you wouldn't think that that's a spiritual thing, but it is, right? You go out there and you see God's creation, and God speaks to you when you're out there. And not only it can be something you do by yourself, or you bring other people along and experience in community. So these are just examples that are, I mean, you guys and I, you know, everyone else has their own example here. This is just a few examples of people in our fellowship that God has shown them special things in the ordinary things of life. And that's things that we can celebrate. For me, I've got, I'm going through this book right now, and it's called, actually I finished, it's called Infinite Powers. And I've just been reading it, and just got done with this last week. But it's a book on the story of calculus, the history of calculus. And it talks about how the language of God is in calculus. And, you know, that may seem weird, but what calculus is, it's the study of movement and motion. And you saw right here, you know, these things that they could figure out came about because people studied calculus. They used that, and they saw, wow, there's incredible design in this world. You know, we could look at simple things like, you know, a circle or triangle that are amazing, but then you start putting things in motion and study that. God has created amazing different patterns that are beautiful. And believers and non-believers alike are recognizing that and wrestling with it. This book is the number one book on Amazon in three different categories. And I don't think the guy is a believer at all, but he talks many times how God is like this God language that is filtered throughout the universe, he shared how it was discovered over time by many people, some of them believers, some of them not, but it's just a neat story about a non-believer talking about God's creation, and it's great for me. It's a great opportunity for conversation. And so in finishing, I want to review this because it's not just God put these things in motion. He's got a beautiful pattern. in the planets. First of all, you know, this is we talked about Earth going around the sun. Well, every planet moves around in the same elliptical pattern. They're just different sizes. So God has different patterns for different planets, but he's kind of got the same recipe for all of them. So I thought, well, that's kind of cool. But hidden within that, and this is really amazing, is if you start at, you know, these endpoints here. So let's say I'm going to start here. And I can look over and I can look at that point at the other end. So this is the longest distance in this pattern. So this is the longest, and this is the shortest distance. Okay, so this is God doing a little bit of math on the side. He said, well, here's a math problem I created for you. And so you're over here, and you want to go to the sun. Okay, you want to go to the sun. How do you do that? Well, there's the distances in there will tell me exactly how to find the sun by a simple calculation by looking at this. And it will tell me, okay, I need to go this far to the sun, and then I need to go this far over here. And it's all based upon those four points. And that's the same pattern God puts in music. And so if this is an A on the music chord, and this is a C, you may ask, well, where is the B? Well, B is halfway through A and C, right? So it ought to be right here. No, God didn't make music that way. He didn't put it in the middle. He made a beautiful pattern, and that pattern is embedded in the same shape here. And so if you want to find the sun and where B is at, he'll tell you exactly where it's at. And God is making music in the creation. And so if you think about all the planets, he's got, you know, that's the notes for Earth, and he's got another music for Mars and Saturn. And so he's playing an orchestra out there as he's putting these things in motion that moves to music. And, you know, that's the God we serve. And I'm going to end with Psalm 33, which almost made me choke up just reading it, because it brings in all the things we talked about today as far as God's word, his creation, and music. And so Psalm 33, verse 1. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Think about the orbit of the planets. There's music that he's making there. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. So we have an amazing God.